wonderful that my Redeemer praise his name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for always being near us and always taking care of us and guiding us and leading us. I just want to say, Wednesday night I had a little accident. And I guess because it was raining and dark and I couldn't see that as well as I thought I would. I thought the road was still there, and it wasn't. And so I ran off the edge of down a little embankment. Not very dangerous where I ran, but I just couldn't get out. But thank God, you know, it says angels is all around us.
Amen.
And two guys came along, told strangers, pulled me out, put me back on the road, and moved on. And so thank God for them and asked him to bless them. One of them said he had a need. So touch him. Pray God would touch him and bless him and grant unto him for that which he have need of.
Amen. Right.
We're going to read this morning from Psalm 56. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful, Lord, and thankful for you being near us, Lord, for protecting us and guiding us. Lord, even when we have not time to ask, God, you're still there to grant unto us what we have need of. Lord, we ask you to touch everyone that is present, Lord, whatever's in their heart that they have a need of. Lord, we pray that you would grant it. Lord, we ask you to touch those who are not here this morning, Lord, that are sick and unable to attend. God, we know that you are more than able, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit down, Father, and just let them receive it. We ask you to remember those in the Sunday school classes, touch them, Father, that they may have a strong foundation to grow upon. God, for each one have needs, Lord, we ask you to provide it. We ask you to be with Brother Dale this morning, Father, touch him in a special way. Lord, grant unto him that which you have need of in his body and his spirit. Lord, we pray that you will grant unto him that which we have need of, Lord, that we would hear it and believe it and receive it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man will swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me.
Every day they waste my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil.
They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul.
Shall they escape by iniquity, and thine anger cast down the people, O God?
Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in my book?
When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me.
God will I praise his word, and the Lord will I praise his word.
In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me.
Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Like what Brother Colin said, you know, and he prayed a blessing on those brothers that helped him. You know, and no doubt that's God's way of doing things. Amen. Amen. No doubt he said the least you do unto his children. So praise the Lord. We know they will be blessed. I want God's way to be my way. 521. As we journey here below, there is no other highway that a child of God shall go. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that a child of God should go. We don't want our own way on this journey. Amen. It's too steep and it's too rough. Amen. But if he leads us, it's enough. Yes. Amen. You ready for the word this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get our hearts clear. Thank the Lord. We're excited for what he's going to bring to us this morning. Amen. So we're going to ask him to open our eyes. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you.
God bless you, brother.
I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, oh Lord. loving. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Get lifted up, O Lord, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen. See him, don't you? Well, just turn around and take a look. You might be able to find him there somewhere. Right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody. Glad to have our visitors back there with us. And as we always say, when you come here one time, you're a visitor. Two times, you're part of us. So welcome. And just enjoy the Lord and his word is what we try to do. Amen. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn where we've been reading from 1 Peter 1 and Revelations 1. Now remember all of the announcements. Remember, pray for Brother Al. Brother Danny's sick. Remember him. Anna and Lily is sick, so remember them. Keep everyone, all of these that are sick, and there's many more others that are sick among us. So just, you know, be with each. Pray for each one. Remember, the fellowship meeting now will be the third Saturday, 3:30, Brother Forney will be ministering for us on that, so keep all of that in mind. Brother Bob will be ministering this coming Wednesday, so pray for him. All right, then Brother Luis will be with us, the Lord willing, the next one, because they're coming back in. They're in Florida there, and he's ministering today for a brother there in Florida, so remember to pray for him to get a safe journey home. But then on that day, you know, I asked him to kind of like give us a testimony, kind of how everything went and all like that. So that'll be not this coming Wednesday now, the next Wednesday. All right. So remember that, okay? Any other announcements? I know you announced about the banquet and everything, sign-up sheets downstairs. Remember all of these things. And come and we'll have a good time together. Always do. All right. Father, we thank you for this day and your love, Lord. We thank you for your grace and guidance unto us, and we pray that you would just bless each one, that we may all, Lord, walk in the light of your grace and love. The one thing we desire more than anything is for you to have the preeminence in our hearts and our lives, to work among us and bring forth what you would have to be done and make alive, Lord, yourself among us. We love you and we thank you. Be with all of the sick ones that we've called out and many more that are sick. Just, you said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So we believe you and we just commit it all to you. Have your way now. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 Peter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference in the appearing and the coming, right? As I've always stated, kind of made a point where you can see, he can appear in any church around the world. He can appear there and be there as to the form of appearing. But now his coming is going to be in this day, not what we look at as we think about a physical coming. It's the coming of the bride of Christ, him coming forth in the end time in the bride of Christ. So then there's a vast difference in the appearing and the coming. As I say, he can be out there appearing, but now he's coming. He's not coming to them. He's coming to the bride, okay? All right. Or in the bride would be a better way of saying it. Okay. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. See, all that Old Testament was speaking of the coming forth of the New Testament. All right. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, right? See, they seen something was going on, but they knew that they was not making it manifest in fullness. But unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, so now we know the Bible is a complete revelation of Jesus Christ, then it would wind up in the book of Revelations, so we go to the book of Revelations and pick up the thought on it. All right, Revelations 1 and 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by a record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We had a good time last night in the Bible study. If you want to get the tape and, you know, listen. We were covering a lot of things and a lot of overviews of a lot of different points and all in that. I enjoy the Bible study. I enjoy questions and answers because that makes, the prophet said, makes a strong church. All right. Now, what are we doing now as we're trying to talk on these things and talking about the end time and knowing that, you know, as we read from Peter, that there's a great understanding to be made manifest to the bride of Jesus Christ at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the finality, the finishing up, the you know, the making known and bringing forth in a revelation to you and I. All right. What have we been covering now? We've been covering that, you know, the prophet said it this way, that he says, now, before I tell you anything, you know, of what's going to take place in the church ages, the main point was what? He said, I want you to know who I am. All right? So he reveals himself as the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and Omega, all of the things he was, which is, and shall come, reveals himself as Hebrews 13:8, the word of God to be made manifest. And I asked a question last night at the end, and I said, I'll ask this, and I won't say no more. But, you know, we talk about the Bible and talk about how the book is sealed. Well, I asked a simple question. Showing to the people on tape or anything, they don't see it. I'm holding the Bible. Okay? Now, is this whole book sealed? Or is it only the book of Revelations that's sealed? Huh? Is the whole book sealed, or is it just the book of Revelations that's sealed? Huh? See, then that way we can look at something and be able to comprehend truly what I've been driving for three or four services, five now, about the writing of the Bible. All right. The writing of the Bible is what I've been discussing, or trying to bring our thoughts and relationship to that to see, you know, what we're looking at. All right? Now, we know and we went through it trying to bring the point that, see, the Bible has, it tells the past, it tells the present, and it tells the future. All right. All within the same book, telling those things, okay? And I tried to illustrate it with, like, Moses as he wrote the first five books of the Bible, and as his writing was back there, see, he was writing some little over 2,000 years or more over after time had started, you know, but he wrote about what took place back there. All right? Then he was covering things that was taking place right then, and he was writing about those things. And then he wrote about the future to come. Like my brother used to say, how could Moses write of his own death? You know, because he does. Or, you know, if you give him the first five books. I said, if you'll explain to me how that he knew what happened in Genesis, you know, in the creation of the world, I said, we won't have no trouble. We're trying to understand about, you know, how he could write of his own death. That wouldn't be no problem. Because we could, you could easily right now, you could say, I tell you what now, brothers and sisters, if time passes 50 more years, I'm going to die. Well, you know what I wrote? The future. Right? Because I'm 78 years old. I don't think I live to be no 125 or 30 years old. All right. But the point I'm trying to get you to see is a point now, and it may take the rest of this message to get it to what I want to drive hard into for you to see the day and the hour that you are living. All right? Now, that's the main thing we're trying to do. Talk about the writing of the Bible and see how that any writer in there, any of the prophets, could stand and speak of the something way before them. They could speak of things that was happening right then present. And they could speak of the future. Because that point would hold Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever, to bring it all the way through. All right? See, then we look at it, and you could say to most people, you know, they'd say, well, we have the Bible. Well, that's true. But you know, there's a lot of things in this Bible that has not come to pass. Right? All right. So you've got great things to come. You've got a millennium. You've got a future home. You've got all kinds of things spoke of in the Bible. Just to getting to that point, you know, to see that you can see there's a lot of things still to transpire. All right? See, then is it the Bible because it is written down? That was the last points we were trying to bring. See, because Paul said the letter killeth. He said, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, can we say it's the Bible just because we've got this? You know, because we have a book. We have it written. Well, we've got this that tells the past, present, and future. Amen, we do. But yet there's a lot of things in there that's still not fulfilled. Well, all right, now here's the quote now from the prophet. What does he say? He said, as long as it lays in the pages of this book, it can be questioned. All right. That's what's wrong with mankind today, especially the people of the message. They're questioning what they've got. All right. But he said, once it's made alive or revealed, he really didn't even say manifest. He's talking about when it's revealed. All right? See, because he's going to have to reveal it before he can make it manifest, right? No. See, then he'll reveal that, then he'll bring it into reality. But I'm trying to get you to look at the writing of the Bible, that there's still things left that's not finished. There's things left that the Bible says will come, all right? And it will transpire, all right? See, then there's, you know, we get in there and we could study it and go through the changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, you know, the light's trump, the trump. And we can look at that and see that those writers back there of the Old Testament, especially as we read in Peter, that they knew something was taking place. You know, like Brother Branham says about when Isaiah said, you know, a virgin shall conceive. He said, my Lord, he probably went home and thought, what in the world did I say? You know, I mean, that's totally crazy to mankind, you know, and everything, for that to be able to take place. But he said it did take place. All right. See, now, then in the writing of it, see, we think just because that we have it pinned, you know, pinned down, that we have the Bible. Well, all right. Now, is it, as the last question that I asked was this, is it the Bible because it's pinned, you know, written down? Or is it really, which is the most valuable to thought to you? Of writing something, a letter, somebody would write a letter, hand it to you, you know, and they'd say, well, this is a will and et cetera, you know, and you'd read it and you'd say, oh, I just inherited $1 million. Well, now, which one's the most valuable? I mean, the paper says you're going to get it, right? Okay. Now, we're still in the Word. Don't get me out of there. Leave me in the Word to where I'm just getting my point. But which did you rather have? You say, well, I've got the paper, and if it's right, it's right. Okay, but that could be questioned because it's written on page. But the day they hand me the check, all right, now I know then I got something real. I can start planning on spending, because if not, I don't have it to spend. All right? So which is the most valuable? The fact of somebody giving you a paper or somebody giving you what that paper is talking about? Now, that's the point I'm driving, hard for us to see. The value of the Word of God. We know it's the Word of God. We know it will come to pass. We have no questions about it, this being the Word of God. You know, all right? And you see, then by it being the Word of God, it will be fulfilled. And that's why I love, and you know, there's plenty of other translations and things, but I like the King James translation. All right? You know the reason I like it? Like we were talking about last night, about the prophets and the Word of God coming to them. This prophet, he didn't do away with all those translations. He verified that even like Lamza's translation, etc., was perfect in text and everything. And I'm honest, sometimes I can't read it exactly. I have it, but yet I believe it because he said it. All right. Now, see then, this book, this Bible that we have, has been vindicated. All right? So that's what we're standing on now. We're standing on, we have the vindication of the Bible being true. But there's a lot still that has not transpired. All right? And see, actually, we are here now in reality, if you'll think of this point, we are in the writing of the book. You know, God is still writing. We thought, oh, no, it ended back there when this... No. It's not fully made alive yet. Until it's made alive, then you can say you're in the finishing up of all things. Maybe an odd point of trying to get you to see. But I want you to see the Word of God and how it's written. All right? Now, in doing that, then we went through the Bible, through the different things, you know, of the points. But we've come now kind of standing before the book of Revelations and looking at that, and coming up into that point that we can see that, you know, there's actually things in those church ages. Right. We're in the seventh church age. Right? Right. Okay. You say, oh, no, we're not an age. Well, we are. If you don't think so, look in the mirror as you go out. You'll find out you're in the age. But now we've got to be birthed out of the age into the revealed Word of God. Okay, so now that's the truth of it. But see, now I'm wanting to approach it to the point to where to get you to read the book of Revelations and get and look at that and see that it's unfolding. All right? It's unfolding right now. There's things in there that are, if we could read it in the correct order, it would be like reading a newspaper. We ought to be able to anyway. The way things are happening now, we don't even need a newspaper. We can look out and see what's taking place and know that it is the finishing up of all things. All right. And see, there's things then in the book of Revelation, especially I'm driving that point to get you to look at it, that in the seventh church age, there's things that age proclaims that's not finished. All right? So you're still in the writing of the word. Because we're in the reality of the living word. All right? And see, by having a prophet to bring us the word, then we can read the word now and realize that, like I said, that there are things that have not transpired yet. All right. There's things, and we're still in that which was, which is, and which is to come. Because that was the point that we drove at where the prophet said, you know, from the Patmos vision, he said, I want you to know who I am before I start telling you about these things. All right. Now, here is our thought now to pick up from here and go in a service or two on it. Okay? To know who he is. We know he's the one God. The scriptures is right. We know all of those things. All right. But if you stopped there, you would not be bringing forth the complete Bible. Okay, now, it's going to swallow a little bit because you're going to have to listen. Okay? Now, if we are part of the Word, and why would we not want to believe that we're part of it? I mean, anything like that. Why wouldn't we want to believe that we're part of it? All right? See, then if we're part of the Word, then the part we are to fulfill in our day is not finished. Why? Because we're still here. It's going to finish when we walk out of here. See? Then we can say that in reality we've reached the position that we need to think about. We say, then, the Bible is now alive. Because remember our whole point, letters on a page. Question. But the alive word in your heart cannot be questioned. As I was saying our Wednesday, then if somebody could take some newfound revelations, you know, things and days and things. They could find those things. Would it take away from what you believe or add to it? Because if it's the truth, it could be added to it. All right. Now, there's many new things that are coming out. Now, I just saw a documentary there the other day. Happen to just click on it and see something. And I like documentaries, but that documentary was going pretty good. And, you know, they now can prove that in the Dead Sea Scrolls that they found outstanding things and are still finding things from those scrolls that could relate to the day and the time, and says things were back there. You know, things were happening that we say, oh, no. Huh? See, because if any of you's run across that, you'll know what I'm talking about. That they say in the Dead Sea Scrolls that even some of the scrolls spoke of extraterrestrial beings coming to earth. And that the Jews were trying their best to stop them from releasing any information. This is 1994-5. Trying to stop them from releasing any information from those scrolls. You say, well, but Brother Dale, we don't believe in it, right? I don't believe in extraterrestrial beings. But like I said, the truth can set you free. I'm positive in my thoughts and statements. I don't care what they come up and write of all these books about and all of the places they could prove to find things that look like this or look like that. I don't believe in extraterrestrial beings. You know, somebody in outer space or men on other planets or et cetera. No. Because my Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living. So if there's anything out there, she's the mother of it. Okay? Solve the problem. But see, the point that I'm getting at is to show you that if we take what is said and not take it in such of a negative form, we can take the prophet's message and it'll undo a lot of things. I've told you over and over. Brother Branham said there in the 50s that Russia had jet airplanes. Well, we knew that. That's pretty well, they had the jet airplane the Germans did at the end of the war, you know, World War II. But he said Russia had jet airplanes and flying saucers. Run it in your computer. Brother Branham, did you believe in flying saucers? You believe in extraterrestrial beings from somewhere else flying around? No. I believe in them flying around from here. If Russia had them, don't you think we had them? If Russia had, spaceships to fly about and to do things, don't you think we had them? And the man made a comment that was in the thing. He said, if this truth comes out, said it'll destroy religion. See, because, man, religion would say, oh, no, we don't believe in something from outer space. And I don't either. But yet, look where we're at. See? Look at the scientific age we're living in. You say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying, see, if we take the message and listen to the message, it will straighten out the thoughts that no one could bring. You know, and there's no way to bring anything to contradict that, because if we did have flying saucers in the 50s, what do we got now? And like I always try to emphasize that to the point, because I like to read and look at things. And when they was to go to Kuwait back there during that little conflict war thing, you call it. And I well remember about 2 months before that it was in the newspaper that we had was coming up with a stealth bomber. And that we were to, you know, to bring that into being. But we only had prototypes and had two of them. You know, two of them prototypes. Billions of dollars to cost to build them. That was going to be supersonic great things. Well, I remember, you know, I just keep that in mind. Well, about 2 months later, when they went into Kuwait, there were 15 of them went in at one time. Well, they sure got in a hurry and built them, didn't they? You understand what I'm getting at? See, we get the news way late of what's taking place. And see, those stealth bombers were great. But yet, see, then my memory runs on back to 62 when Francis Powers was shot down by the Russians in that U-2 pilot, that it was more sophisticated, faster than what even they revealed about these stealth bombers that was to come on now. He said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a reality that they can't take away from me. They can't take away from me and come up and say, well, look at the extraterrestrial being. Don't you believe in that? They got history. They got that. Yeah, let him walk out and he'll speak English or Russian, one of the two. Yeah. And then all of these sightings they have where they've been picked up and put over in a spaceship and carried off and brought around. It's kind of funny. They could all communicate. You don't think? I mean, they could all communicate with each other. See? What are you saying? We're living in a sophisticated society that has brought forth many of the things that mankind says doesn't exist, but they do exist. So what would you do, Brother Dale, if they set down a spaceship out here in the back of the church? What would you do? I'd go out there and say, hi, guys, glad to see you. You know, which one are you? You for us or you for the Russians or everyone else? It wouldn't knock my thoughts of Christianity. My whole point is what? Can they take away from you the fact of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If they can take that away from you, it's not revealed. See, because when it's revealed, they ain't going to take it away. There's no way to take it away. There's no way to take away the revealed word. See? So then that's why, to me, the revealed word is greater than letters on a page. Hey, come on. We got our understanding from letters on a page. Right? But then the revelation has to come from Almighty God. All right? So then, what did Brother Branham say about the book of Revelations? We'll get this little point. He's talking about those people, you know, the understanding, the coming forth. As I said, he said, I want you to know who I am before we go any further. All right? We study the one true and living God. We get that laid in order. Everything's correct. We know that there's just one God. We don't have no problems with ideas or concepts of mankind to try to take that away from us because it's been revealed. All right, but has the rest of it been revealed? They said, I want you to know who I am. All right. Now, what's the next stage? I want you to know where I'm at. Stage one, I want you to know who I am. Stage two, I want you to know where I'm at. Where's he at? He's supposed to be in me and you. Right? I mean, it's supposed to be the new birth inside of us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? Well, see, then that way we can go into the book of Revelations and just keep moving as it unfolds, you know, unto us and bringing us to a point. All right? Now, the first point is what? See who he is. So then what's the next stage? Is to see where he's at. He didn't stop revealing himself. All he done was change the form that he was using. All right? The revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John. Now, that's Trinitarianism because we got God give this and that. No. We'll get to it. We've got it written down in here. The scripture says, you know, they asked Jesus when he was coming. He said, I don't know. He said, only the Father knows. Right? And he said, I don't know. You said, well, he was the Father. Yeah. But see, we've got the scriptures from the prophet and the thoughts from the prophet to make it to where it'll stay in the correct line. Because you see, Jesus said, I do nothing until my Father shows. Brother Run said he didn't do nothing until he seen a vision. Uh-huh. So then we look at the human side and we think, well, I just don't understand that. Well, it's easy to understand if we'll just keep following the story. What's the next stage? First, stage one. Find out who he is. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was going to come. And the Alpha. He's all of it. But see, he didn't stop. He just started the story to where that we could follow the writing of the Bible on through. But Brother Dale, John wrote these back there. He sure did. But remember, Moses wrote back there. Remember, the other prophets wrote of back there. But then there had to be a time that back there had to become a reality. And this is the way Brother Brown said. He said that Jesus didn't know when he was coming. He said that was withholding. He said, but now at this time, for the present tense of him coming to John on Patmos, he said, now he knows. All right. Why? Because the Bible is still being written. You know, the Word of God is still unfolding to you and I. All right. Now, if that be true then, see if we see who he was, and then we see where he reveals where he's going. I don't like the word going to go somewhere or something because it gives you the wrong idea. He's going to show you stage two of the story. Stage one was to show who he was. Now he's going to show where he's at. All right? Where's he at? Who is this great one? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who was, he's the one who is, and the one to come. He's Hebrews 13:8. All right. Now, then what happens? What is the next step? Where does he go or what does he do? He reveals himself about 1 through 9 or right through there. Is the revealing of one true and living God in Revelation, you know. All right. Now let's go to verse 9, and if they will, pull that up, maybe number 2 on your notes. Let's get to that, Revelations 1:9, and just read it. Then we'll try to approach. All right. So are you there, number 2? Okay. Go to 17. Drop back to verse 9. Well, I got it there, but that'll be okay. Just leave it right there. That'll be fine. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, John's falling before. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not Brother Branham coming to John, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ that John is falling before. And then when you get on over into chapter 18 and chapter 19 or 21, then you'll pick up the other parts that your mind is trying to run to say, but that's it. No, no. Because look, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. Now that's not a prophet, that's Almighty God. Okay? I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things. Now watch him. What does the Bible reveal? What has been, what is, and what is to come. That's the full, that's the intent of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, no matter who the authors are, the writers. The prophets and the thing. That's what it's revealed. So look what he's saying. Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. So now he's telling him to write what he sees. Write what you see. You have already now put in writing, I've given it unto you to let you know who I am. Now, John, you write what you see. And what did John see? Okay? So now, then where do we go? We're going over. So, all right. We pick it up, and what does it come up to? Drop to verse 12. This reason I put these in and then put in others. But come back to verse 12 of Revelation 1. Let's see what John saw. John, write this and send it to the church. Write what you see. All right? Now, he didn't see, he saw chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. He saw who Jesus Christ was. Almighty God. Now, where does he go from there? What's the next stage? You got it? Okay. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white, like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Daniel covers him the same as the Son of Man. Okay. And he had in his right hand seven. Hold on. See. Voices of many waters. Okay. And he had in his right hand, verse 16, come on up. Feet like on the frying rice. Okay, we get it. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And what did it wind up doing? And his countenance like unto the sun shineth in full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid, now there's where we get into that. This one that John sees is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? But what form did he see? What form did he see? Back up, verse 12. Roll back. What form did he see? We understand who this is, but what form was it? Okay. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Okay? Now, Brother Joe, would you pull up the little thing that we made a while ago? And let's look at the seven golden candlesticks. Okay? That's what John saw. Seven golden candlesticks, one in the midst of the candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. It doesn't say the Son of Man, because that's not the person of the Son of Man. He's moved into another form. He's moved from what he was telling John. Write what you know about me. Seal it up. Bring it in here. But said, now I want you to go another step. And said, go in one more step, I want you to see. One in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? According to the prophet, on this arising of the sun, he said, who is the Son of Man? He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You need that one? It'll be on in a few minutes. The Son of Man. Why would it show the Son of Man? Why would he be dealing with Son of Man instead of dealing with Son of God? Come on. There's got to be something happen further than Son of God. Now listen. John, before you say anything else, I want you to know who I am. Who was he? He was the Son of the living God. He was Almighty God. He was the Son of the living God. That's why Peter, when he said that, Jesus immediately said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Not on the revelation of Son of Man. Because that was a step that Jesus asked him, who do man say I, the Son of Man, am? But Peter immediately says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Almighty God in human flesh. What else could he have stated? Because he didn't understand Son of Man. And Jesus immediately spoke back and said, he said, listen, you got part of what I said. I asked you who I am. You said it right. I am the Son of God. I'm Almighty God. I'm showing you that. But you didn't answer what I asked about the Son of Man. None of the writers wrote of the Son of Man. Now, I'm not going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with you to say, well, they said it Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yeah, they said it Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a Son of Man. But then none of their writings. Take John's writings after the book of John was written. Take which one was the original? Luke and... which are the other? One of the two was Luke and Mark were not even original disciples. All right. But Peter and John never wrote anything else about the Son of Man. There was at least two of them. And why not? Now I've asked you this question over and over. And the greatest of all was of those people back there was the Apostle Paul. And he said not one word about the Son of Man. See? But immediately, a prophet comes on the scene in the 40s. And he immediately starts speaking of Son of Man. Right? Because he knew that Son of God. You got the seven church ages, the Spirit of God dwelling in the seven church ages. But remember the point we're trying to get at. One in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. Well, there's no way to bring and put a physical man there because of the way the Scriptures are written. You've got to put the feminist part. All right? So let's go ahead and read the Scripture. What was it? Can you pull it back up fast enough, brothers? Verse 12. Roll it back up. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Watch. Clothed with a garment down to the foot. Okay. And girt about the paps with a golden girdle. All right, now we're going to read what the prophet said. That's feminish. All right. And then he describes his hair and the whiteness, and then the feet is bright, and then he comes down and he falls down to worship him. That one that was there, that was shown, was one like unto the Son of Man. Okay? You say, well, okay, all right, let's just read it. Go ahead, number 3. In other words, write the things now, John. Getting the point while they're coming up with that. I want you to know who I am. If you got that right, I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm the Almighty. I'm the God of, I'm the beginning, the ending. I'm that which was, which is, and shall come. I'm all of it. And I am the Son of God. Amen. But then he turns here and he says, all right, one like unto the Son of Man. Now, Jesus on earth answered their question. I don't know when I'm coming. I don't understand that. It's withholding from me to be able to express. It's withholding. It's not given to me to understand. Right? But then when he comes to Patmos, look at the first thing John sees. Are you listening? Let's get the point. Let it slide across your mind as you're human thinking. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. You got that right, John. Or Peter, excuse me. Peter, you got it right that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got it right that I'm one true and living God made manifest and there is no more. You got that right. But I didn't ask you that question. I asked you, who is the Son of Man? He said, I know you can't understand it. Because at the time he asked him, he didn't have the new birth. Right? Had he had the new birth, he could have comprehended more. At the time Jesus was asking these things, there was no new birth involved. But he said, now I'm going to have to go away. And said, I'll come back to you. And Brother Brown said he not only showed them things, you know, that he had spoken unto them, but said he also showed them the future and things. You know, more into their understanding. But none of them, now it just went quiet about Son of Man. But I ask you to do it. That's what gets me. People want to make this, that, or the other out of something. Why not put it like it is? That your prophet immediately, see there 47 is the start of the thing, and it's 49, I believe. Now, if I'm wrong, it's within the first 2 years, and then he starts talking about Son of Man. Right? What's the first thing John does on Patmos? I mean, the Lord to John. Don't you know who I am? I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm Almighty God. He said, now we're going to show you another step. Because he said, when I was with you on earth, you couldn't understand it. He says, now we're going to talk about one like unto the Son of Man. Now we're going to get the answer to the question that I asked you. Who the man say I the Son of Man am? And now we're going to get it out of the book of Revelation. So I hope you see that he's still writing. It ain't over. You say, well, is it writing? No, they can't. You can't add a word, so don't get all involved in that. That Brother Dale's talking about an additions or anything. I'm not talking about. I'm trying to show you that in the writing is right there in the Word. You're listening. Now go back through it. Listen. Jesus said, who would a man say, I the Son of Man am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Recognizing him to be the very creator. The Word, and Brother Branham emphasizes it back to her, the Word was what created all things in Genesis. So there was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Almighty God in human flesh standing on earth. He said, now, that's enough for me to hold you on to build my church. He said, I'll return one day. And said, when I return, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. I'm going to get into the Son of Man. So isn't it odd the first thing that happens in the Genesis? I mean, it happens in the Revelation? Reminding him of who it is. John, I want you to know who I am. I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm the very creator. I'm the very beginning. I am all because I'm God. We said, now there's more to be said. because I mentioned it to you when I was with you and said you didn't understand. And he listened. And he said, and really, I didn't understand it. Now, come on. Jesus didn't know when he was coming. He didn't know anything about the future of his in the church. We got the quotes from the prophets. We'll read it when we get to it. We'll get it today, but that's all right. But then immediately it turns from Son of God, chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, 12, and going on through up to 12, and then when it strikes into 12, he goes to one like unto the Son of Man. Gird about the paps with a golden girdle. Now come on, I'll get back to this, but just to lay the point in, that's coming judge. Because he moves the garment. All right. Just don't jump over to that first. Let's get where we're going. Because you got to get to paps and get what that is and understand what's taking place. All right, now let's read what your prophet had to say. They've already got it up. This would be a great message for you to digest over and over. In other words, listen to or read. Okay? Seven church ages. It's 1954. Now that's the Bible. That's what the Spirit said, the candlesticks, all right? In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. What? One like him. It's not him physically. He's not standing there physically. He's there in his bride. Watch. One like him. Who was this? His bride. So who's seen in Revelation 1 verse 12? Or 13, right in there when it starts coming. Who is seen there? One like unto the Son of Man. Picking it right where Jesus left off. Now we're going to learn a little bit about Son of Man. Who is this Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word. It's the rising of the sun. So listen. One like unto the Son of Man. One like him. Who was this? His bride. Watch how it was. Clothed with a garment down to the foot. The holiness of Jesus Christ covering her. Has washed her from our sins with his own blood. All right? Girt about the paps. Not a man. A woman. With a golden girdle. What is that? The gospel that held the power and glory of God over the body of Christ. Now you're talking about bride form, right? Huh? So who is this John sees when he says, one like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps and the golden girdle? He sees Jesus in another form. Right? And it's a bride form. Okay? Let's go a little lower. Why are we not a denomination? Number four. Now, if you notice, so he goes through the candlesticks and the tabernacle and all of the things explaining it and comes down, seven church ages and that. Now, if you notice in Revelation 1, we find that Jesus standing in the seven church ages. The seven golden candlesticks, when he turned and saw one like unto the Son of Man standing clothed with a... How was it? It was a bride standing in the candlesticks drawn out. Now pull that back with the bride in the... Pull it back with the church ages across and there you go. You know what this story about this picture, that is the Word of God in bride form, right? The prophet brought that out, explained who that was. He said, look how they pressed down in her ink and made it darker. He said, there she stands. Where's she standing? She's standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. All right. But it's not portraying her as the Son of Man, but portraying her as who he's manifesting himself through. That's the point. Who's he manifesting himself through today? He's not here in physical form. So he's still writing. You realize every time a person is born into the kingdom of God, God is still writing. Now, come on. All right, what's the next one? Go ahead to number five. Okay, we're asking them to flop backwards and forwards today. All right, this is taken from In His Presence, Jeffersonville, 1962. What about the great spirit, great Saint John of Revelation 1:7? When he was showed the vision and looked and heard a voice speaking to him, and he turned to see the voice, and he saw seven golden candlesticks, and one stood in the midst of the seven candlesticks with hair like wool, eyes like flame of fire, feet like fine brass. He was girded with a girdle, golden girdle, around the paps, and he was called the Word of God. That's who he is. And when he seen him standing there, listen, this is what I like. You realize that when he saw the bride, do you believe that that is the bride? Going in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. When your prophet said it was the bride, we gave you two quotes, it was the bride. Now to do it, but do you really believe what that is? When he seen him standing there, that glorified state. Where is he glorified? In his bride. He's glorified in his bride. Okay. Now listen. In that glorified state, go ahead to number six. Let's read these and then we'll quit. From Patmos Vision, paragraph or page 49. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. John does not say that he turned to see the one whose voice he heard, but he turned to see the voice. You remember me asking Wednesday about it? See, John knew his voice. John had lived with him for 3.5 years. He knew the voice. He knew he was looking away and he heard the voice. Uh-huh. See, my voice is hard to kind of cover, right? 99% of you can catch the first thing. Quick as I call on the phone, you'll say Brother Dale. Even Brother John, I called him the other day asking how they was doing. And he, And he said, hey, Brother Dale. I mean, all I'd said is hello. Now, I know he could look at his phone and get the number off of it, but I don't think he was doing it. See, it's hard to hide a voice. All right? And see, John had lived with this man, walked with him, ate with him. I'm quoting Brother Branham. I don't think it's in this quote, but he was there with him day in and day out. And when he heard this voice like a trumpet sounding, he knew who that was. The surprise was when he turned to see the voice. You know, in other words, he knew that he was going to see him. And when he turned to see him, he didn't see Jesus standing there. He saw him in seven golden candlesticks. John's a prophet, so we don't have to worry about it. He knows he's going to get the revelation. All right? And when he does, see, and he turned to see the voice. The voice and the person are one and the same. Jesus is the Word. Who is he? John turns to see his voice. That was what I was telling you. I said, cried, listening to my old self. Because I'd never seen it. You know, in the light, it was open. Paul. Why was it Paul saw a pillar of fire? And he called it Lord. Brother Brown said he wouldn't have called that Lord had he not known that was who it was, the Jehovah the Old. But was you listening to what I was trying to bring out? Paul was blinded and knocked down? Why couldn't Satan impersonate a pillar of fire? He can do it any time. What made Paul say, "Who art thou?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." See, the voice explained who that was standing there more than the man standing looking at a pillar of fire if he was listening Wednesday night. When he saw that pillar of fire, what made him know that that was Jehovah the old and Jesus of the new? He said, "Paul," or "Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul knew exactly who he was persecuting. He knew he wasn't persecuting no Romans or anybody else. He knew who he was killing and doing. And he said, "I'm Jesus." That was the surprise to Paul. Because that way, he knew very little about Jesus, right? He'd never heard him preach. He'd never been around him that much. But he was killing the Christians that were serving Jesus. He was holding the man's coat that was stoning Stephen. And Stephen looks up and sees Jesus standing at the right hand. This, you say, but what all he had to do, he just saw a pillar of fire. If that pillar of fire had never spoke, come on, church. When that pillar of fire began to speak back, you better remember one day, one time for sure. The Bible says in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Right? It's a voice. How are you going to tell a voice? Turn on a tape. Hey, come on, folks. I was in the old days when they had the 7-inch reel. I could splice a tape and make him say anything I wanted him to say. I could do that when I first started in this message. I could splice those tapes and cut it out and make it and just put it. Because we had a lot of them broke. We had to put them back together. But listen. What are you talking about? John hears a voice. He knows who that is. He doesn't have to turn to see who it is. He knows who it is. And when he turns, he sees seven golden candlesticks and one in the midst like unto the Son of Man. Now he knows things is opening up. Right? He knows who he's talking to. You understand what I'm saying? Paul just saw a pillar of fire and fell down and started worshiping. That's what we think about it. That could be impersonated. But when you put the pillar of fire and your understanding with it, and then the voice verifies it. Because, come on, when John heard the voice, he knew who it was, and then when he turned, he saw where the next stage of Christianity was going. It was going to the bride of Jesus Christ and showing how she was going to be involved and showing the Son of Man to be revealed. Right. Who is this Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Huh? Come on. What if you heard His voice? I always like one point. The Bible says don't put anything on the mouth of one witness. You remember that? What is it? Two or three witnesses. Right. I like it to where that I've got something to anchor it down with. Paul, how did you know who that was? Because he told me that I was persecuting him. Because he told me I was doing, and I know who I'm persecuting. Right? And he winds up and says, "Well, it's got to be Almighty God." He said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. That solved it. It didn't matter how many impersonations could come. It didn't matter how much Satan could do. When you put that voice with the word. You never heard his voice? Oh, no, we don't hear his voice. The prophets don't want to hear his voice. Well, I differ with you because he was the one who said it. We do. But that's all right. I don't have no problems. I ain't going to argue with you about it. But the thing about it is, there's the catch to the whole thing. We'll end on this point. Be careful the voice you hear. Be careful of the voice you hear. Not the sound of the voice or who it sounds like. Right? But what does that voice say? It's based on what is said more than anything else. That's why John there, when he saw that, he wrote down what he saw. Went in the midst of seven golden candlesticks like unto the Son of Man. And he probably put a period on the end of it and said, I know who that is. Because now we know where he made his second step. John was saying simply, we didn't understand him when he was on earth. And said, evidently he didn't either because he couldn't explain it to us. But said, now here when we've come to Patmos. He said, we're here for the word of God because that is the first thing told to John. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and he said, I'm here. Come on, musician. He said, I'm here to bring forth the things that have been kept away from man. But do you know his voice? Brother Brown's voice on a tape can be impersonated. Letters off of a page can be written to say the prophet said so and so. See, that's what's the danger point. You know what I'm going to say, a lot of you, especially when you're listening. See what the voice says. If he take you to another God, what are you supposed to do? Be careful of the voice you hear. John hears that voice one more time. John, Peter and them heard the voice of the Lord Jesus. Peter declares that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the very Creator. You're the very Word himself. He said, that's all right. But said, that ain't the full story because there's more to happen. And said, I don't understand it myself because I don't know when I'm coming. The Father hadn't made that known. We get all involved in that instead of trying to understand anything. Well, the Father and the Son is one. How come he was the Father? Why didn't he know all things? Do you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Do you know everything? Okay. That stops that. Yeah, but I ain't God. No, I ain't trying to be. I'm trying to be straight. Put the word in the right place. And so odd, isn't it? That John immediately, after the description, if you're following me, listen. I want you to know who I am. All right. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. He named off who he was, is. I said, okay. I got that. He said, now let's go to the next stage. John hears a voice, turns to see the voice, and when he turns to see it, he was expecting to see the Lord Jesus standing there. And that's who he saw. But he saw him in bride form. Now it's being described what Peter didn't get. Who do men say, I the Son of Man am? Now you say those things are accidental, and why did your prophet, you answered me that. Go to your writers, go to your scriptures, go and read. None of your writers wrote of the Son of Man. Oh, yeah, now they could write what Peter said. We Baptists, come on first. Don't go hogwire with me, and then I want you. You know that we Baptists knew the Son of Man was the sign of the resurrection? I knew that in the Baptist church. That the Son of Man was the resurrection sign. Why? Because he said, I am the resurrection. Amen. Who raised Lazarus? Me? But we didn't know what it was about. But here comes a little old prophet. He preaches for a while because he started in his 30s, you know, in the 30s preaching. They recorded it, started in 47. I think it's 49. And he starts talking about the Son of Man. And tell me, bring me one tape that he didn't talk about the Son of Man in it. Right? You know what I mean. He was trying to get us to see who that was. Until it was so misunderstood that they made him the Son of Man. They made him the Son of Man. He said, I am not the Son of Man. He said, I'm a Son of Man. He said, the Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet people won't listen to that. They still think that Brother Branham was the Son of Man. Yeah? We'll get back to those. What have we got, Brother? Let's stand.
Flow through.
Think on these things.
Flow through me. Spirit, flow through me, flow through me, Holy Spirit.
Who the man say, I the Son of Man am, thou art the Christ.
All right, I'll build my church on that. I lift my hands to worship.
One day I'll come back.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through
me. He started coming on the day of Pentecost. That's when he started his coming. We're still in that.
Magnify thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Is that your desire? Come to church. Look where our understanding has come to. Who is that Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word. What would that Word come and do to John? To tell the future. Hold that point till we get back on it. He come to John to tell him the future.
Afternoon and wait and ministering the word on it. Father, we thank you for all things and we pray that you would just bless us now as we go eat a natural meal in the human life and then come back this afternoon to
hear your word. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for revealing yourself and where you're at. Because we don't look for you anywhere else. You're not off up in heaven. You're not down that we have to go get you or anything. You're nigh us. You're in our very mouth and very heart of the words that we speak. We love you. And we thank you. Just bless the people now. Remember the sick among us, Lord. And just touch each one. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.